Hi, and welcome to the Sunday Lunch Project Manager podcast for the 24th of July, 2022. This is your host, Nigel Creaser, and today we've got the second part of my interview with Dr. Troy, the talent retention expert. Enjoy. So this week we are again supported by Tamplo. Tamplo is an online tool that turns meetings into actions and has a number of different features. The bit I'm going to talk about today is around the project and task management and the follow-up. Essentially, you have a clear dashboard that shows you an overview of scheduled tasks, alert for late tasks, an overview of team's progress. Saves you jumping into your Outlook and being diverted by that morass of email that we get. You can create your own daily plan in there, or you can, as a project manager, you may be assigning tasks to people. And those people can look at those, have their own daily plans, adding in their own specific items they've got to do, as well as the things allocated to them. For the project management point of view, you get a dedicated dashboard with a list of tasks, knowing what people are working on each project. And there's a load of collaboration capability in there. With the goal of getting no task left undone, more efficiency and motivation, and clear action plans. So if you want to see what this is all about, jump along to tinyurl.com/Nigel Creaser Tamplo. That's all one word, Nigel Creaser Tamplo. Have fun. So what's been going on with me these last couple of weeks? Well, I've been nailing some more podcast interviews. I've said before that it's been going well, and I'm in a position now where I think I have one interview to do, which is scheduled, and then I've got guests interviews rolling all the way through to January 2023, which is quite flabbergasting to me. I'm kind of thinking, I'm seeing people, I'm thinking, I'd really like to get them on earlier, I'd really like to get them in earlier, and I'm struggling to find the time to do it now. Not my time, but the time it slots on the podcast. So I still think splitting the podcast between the two episodes is the right thing to do, because they're quite long podcasts for now. So, but what I will be doing from September is moving to a weekly show, so you'll be able to get your fix of these geniuses that I keep getting on this show. I'm fortunate to get on this show every week rather than every fortnight, so that's going to be great. I'm also starting to do a little bit more with the video and get the videos up onto YouTube, so Dr. Troy's will be premiering at the set it as a YouTube premiere. I don't know what it means really, to be honest, but it's worth a try, isn't it? And that will be appearing on 31st of July. I've got a few others that are going to be coming out before there. Penny Pullins and Elizabeth Harrins are the two that I've got queued up, and there's a few others I'm going to drop in as well, so keep an eye out for that. That will give you some more, sometimes it just gives a different input when you're watching the person as well, and if you prefer to watch, that'd be good. Kind of related to that, I suppose, is I had a comment on the YouTube site where one of my listeners was asking about the video topics, and so that's part of the reason why I'm kind of thinking I want to get it up on there. They also asked about the PDUs, and if you may not have spotted, I have a little stamp on my social media items for the show now that says get your PDUs. With the guys that you're listening to on here, I'm sure that you'll agree there's great knowledge, great education you're getting in there, and it can contribute to your PDUs if you are a PMI person. I'm not sure about other professionals' qualifications and whether that continuing development stuff helps there as well. So check out your own ones, but remember, you can claim for PDUs, listening to podcasts, reading books, etc. Are part of that. So thought I'd highlight to everyone. Another comment I got on the podcast, and I've heard it before a couple of times actually on the YouTube one, around people highlighting where I stop talking in this bit here and say the podcast starts from this point, and kind of to skip the preamble, which is fine. I understand that some people want to get down to the brass tacks and actually understand what's going on and get it. So I'm kind of putting it out there whether you guys would find it beneficial if I made a version of the podcast, which was the combined cast, just the interview, and made that available. It's a little bit more sorting it all out, but I was thinking of making that a subscription through Patreon. So I'd love to hear from you, your ideas on that, whether you think that's a great idea. Probably be price of coffee a month, and then all I do is that additional tidying up, uploading, and getting it up onto Patreon for you guys who subscribe. So whether you'd want to just audio or video or whatever, let me know. But then I would also upload all of the old ones in the same manner, so you'll have that whole back catalogue of just the interviews without me giving all the bits on the outside. So let me know, that'd be, and I'll consider that and work out where we're going. Other stuff that's going on in my day job, I was working in a office with other people in a big workshop. It must have been about 20 of us there, and quite a lot of people online as well, up in Newcastle upon Tyne. So I travelled up there, stayed in the hotel, and came back. It sounds like something special these days compared to what it used to be before lockdown. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed the whole experience this week again. So getting back into the room, getting in there and really interacting with other people, meeting other people, it's been fantastic. So that was a great day, really, on that side of it. So I think in the interests of brevity, I'm coming up to 4.5 minutes on this. It's easier. I can talk for England, as you know. I'll let you get on with the interview, the second part of the interview with Dr. Troy, the talent retention expert. So enjoy, and I'll speak to you later.
Go further and talk about like value. So value, obviously, in the way you treat people, you know, you have trust and respect. But the value of cohesion, or the value element of cohesion, says that I do meaningful work. That what I'm doing matters. It makes a difference. People want to know that what they're doing goes beyond just making a paycheck.
Yeah.
Even though they know they need it for a paycheck, and they might feel like, oh gosh, this is a job I have to do. But imagine what it would be like if that individual felt that that job was meaningful. And many times it's up to the organization to make that job meaningful. And oftentimes the reason it's not meaningful is because they haven't created it. They haven't made that available. They've made it up to the individual to see that, oh, my job in the assembly line is valuable. Instead of the leader, instead of the supervisor, making sure that that person understands that what you're doing today, how it contributes to somebody else downstream.
Yeah.
And how it then continues not only downstream, but also outside of the four walls, that what you're doing really, truly makes a difference. We all seek purpose. We want to know that there's value in who we are as human beings. And that is an important aspect of this cohesion concept. And then the last is shared mutual commitment. And this is where most organizations mess it up. The shared mutual commitment is making sure that the employee understands where their future is first before you ask them to provide some desired outcome. Because the whole element that supports, or the whole leadership concepts that support this element of belonging, value, and shared mutual commitment comes from transformative leadership. And in transformation, it always comes when the leaders think of others first and then self.
Yeah.
So what you're asking, or what I'm helping the organizations do, is make sure that they provide a career path for these individuals and make sure that it's part of the orientation process or part of the acquisition process. Make sure people know where they are. Remember, they're coming in. I told you 63% of them want growth, development, and advancement.
Yeah.
Not all of them want to be the CEO. Not all of them want to be in charge, but they want to know that they have a future. Because when I know that I have a future, I am no longer in this mode of protection, privacy, security, yes. You know, threatened. I'm now protecting. Because if you want people to move further into their thought process, you have to create that opportunity for belonging and self-actualization. And it will not happen when people are feeling threatened. And so by understanding where their future is, it gives me perspective as to where we are. So those are some of the initial things that I help organizations do. And in the book, the first two chapters are dedicated to the leadership, because if you've heard things I've been talking about today, it's about the mindset of the leader. If the leader's not right, it doesn't matter what happens after that. The second two chapters, or the second part of the book, is about the culture. What do you do to support the culture? What do you need to have in place? What does it matter? And then the last two portions, or the last two chapters, and the third portion of the book is how do you bring it to life? Real life examples of things that you can actually do that will make a difference. So that is, you know, really how I've been approaching this conversation of infusing cohesion into organizations, focusing around belonging, value, shared mutual commitment, and helping them do the things that are right for them, and really customizing it to that individual company.
Brilliant. It makes me, because I had, I don't know if you know a guy called Colin D. Ellis. I've had talked to him. He did a book about culture himself a couple of years ago. And he talked about the fact that you, as a leader, you can influence but not control the culture. And some people, it's the beatings will continue until morale improves kind of scenario, isn't it? It's that you've got to make, and I love the thing that you talked about at the time was the fact that you can have a really strong cultural bond between a group of people. Because once you get to a certain size within an organization, you break up into those component parts that have their own identities, as you talk about that kind of, which I think I read something many years ago about, but like when it gets to 120, 150, something like that, it's harder to see itself as a unit, and it breaks into smaller units. And then as it grows bigger, again, you get that fracturing. You have a small team on a, it's our bank of desks. That's our team. It might fracture into, and that group can have really strong cohesion, I suppose, is the thing between themselves, but it might not be positive for the organization. They may die in a ditch for each other to stop something happening in the organization. But
exactly.
But the culture is strong, because culture isn't a positive or negative thing, is it? It's about that strong culture is about that unity of that group, whether that's in the direction of where you want to go or against it. It doesn't really matter. And breaking that down is about the being able to inspire, being able to share that vision, being able to include people in that vision. Or actually, when we talk about a resonation, is identify the people who are never going to be part of that vision. And it might be a case
most of the, most of those people will identify themselves. So I'm not a proponent of going around and saying, let's do this, because they really identified themselves.
Yeah.
So part of the responsibility of the leader within the organization is to know that there's going to be these teams and groups and factions of the culture, but they should be working in harmony. So one of the things that I say is that if you've got individuals who say, I love my team, but hate my company.
Yeah.
Or somebody who says, I love my company, but hate my team. That's a problem.
Yeah.
And you didn't need somebody to come in and tell you have a problem.
Yeah.
That should be enough of a clue that you've got a problem, because there should be congruency in what we're doing.
Yeah.
And why I really focus on cohesion, this is the question that people ask me. They want to know, like, well, why is it such a big deal about cohesion? Because cohesion is a causal phenomenon. It's a cause and effect. It's not correlational.
Hmm.
There's a difference in how you treat correlational data and how you treat causal data.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you to participate in an example. I'm going to ask you some questions, so there'll be no harming of Nigel in the asking of these questions.
No worries.
Okay. So, have you experienced a rainy day?
Yes.
Do you always open an umbrella on every rainy day?
No.
Do you go to the beach?
Yes.
Have you seen umbrellas opened on the beach?
Yes.
And when you were there and the umbrellas were open, was it always raining?
No.
Good. I can create statistical relationship between umbrellas and rainy days.
Yeah.
But I don't create a cause and effect.
Yeah.
Rainy days do not cause umbrellas to be open, and umbrellas open do not cause rainy days.
Yeah.
Cohesion is causal. It means if you infuse belonging, value, shared mutual commitment into your culture of your organization, you get performance. And the additional byproduct that you get from performance is engagement. You get the level of engagement of employee that is helpful, active, vested, and eager. And many organizational leaders are looking for these engaged employees, but somehow they have been told that they can either observe it, or they need to make them happy or satisfied to get engagement. But the reality is satisfaction and happiness are correlational to engagement. If you want engagement to truly happen in your organization, and you really, and whether people are happy or not, I mean, it's up to them. It's, you know, they're going to, one moment they're happy, the next moment they're not. And I keep thinking, oh my gosh, what a mess that would be if you had to figure it out. And my mom used to tell me, she says, Troy, your job is not to make everybody happy. Just don't be the reason they're unhappy.
Yeah.
So I get to control that. So I have my responsibility, but I'm trying to control and you. Well, that goes back to the comment that you made earlier about the individual saying, look, I have influential power. I don't have any organizational power to make the culture work. You do it through influence. Well, all this stuff is all comes together, and it really, really focuses on the mindset of the leader and how that leader is going to infuse this information into the organization. And will they truly want a better predictor of behavior? And cohesion is a better predictor of behavior. The research proves it. And it's not just my research. You can go out and check 3 and 4 decades of research.
Yeah.
And what's fundamental to cohesion is transformative leadership. 6 decades of research. Those leaders who subscribe to transformational behaviors that begin with the overarching concept of focusing on others first and then self. In all of that research, the individual contributor has never suffered.
Yeah.
No other organizational leadership study can make that same claim. That is why I become so passionate about this and why I can be so assertive to individuals to say, build this cohesion into your organization. There's more information. Every time you lose an employee in your company, it takes up to 50% of their salary to replace them.
It's and crazy, that, isn't
that's hardline dollars globally. Now, this is the number globally, so it's not restricted just to the US, it's global. That for dysfunctional teams, organizations spend over $7 trillion a year to correct dysfunctional teams. Whereas if they were able to really bring this leadership development into individuals. And I remind folks in all of the leadership that I do, my online leadership course that I provide to organizations for them to make available to their employees, I say, there's 3 things you gotta do. You number one, got to be teachable. Listen, if you're not going to be teachable, then doesn't really matter. Yeah. My mantra is you don't have to know everything. You just need to be teachable.
Yeah.
And if you can build that into that concept, then already the mind is open to new ideas and new ways of thinking. The second thing is you have to be a leader.
Yeah.
Now, you have to claim leadership. Even if you may not want to claim the title, maybe you want to be a little more humble about it. The fact is you have to own being a leader, because if you answer questions, you direct things, you do stuff, you're a leader. And the third aspect is this: if individuals within an organization would view everything that is done through the lens of the CEO, the lens of that most influential leader within the company, imagine what would happen, especially when that leader subscribes to transformational leadership.
Yeah, I can see how that leader, you've got to have a leader you're going to follow, and that leader's got to care about you, and that's it, isn't it? It doesn't, and it all the way down. And I know that we're coming up on time a little bit here, but there's just thinking for the audience from a project management point of view, we are leaders within an organization. We're not leaders who can set that vision. There, but we can with our projects. We can with our project teams. What do you see the difference of that layer, that middle management? But I think the difference between us and some other sort of line manager organization is we quite often have a transitory team. We're building new teams. We're having people come in either from other parts of the area or of the organization, or brand new into the organization who have. Those less than helpful supervisors previously, maybe within the same organization again, or maybe outside. But how do you create cohesion at that level? How do you go about it as a project manager? Because you've got a finite amount of time to be able to get them in there, get them hitting the ground, get them performing at their best that they can do, and giving them opportunities.
So again, you take the framework whether it goes over top of the entire organization or over top of the individual small group that you have with the small team. What is the leader doing to create belonging, value, and shared mutual commitment? It's those activities that you do within the organization. So one of the ways through belonging is collaboration. In collaboration, there are two things that are required. The first is you look around the room and agree you need each other.
Yeah.
The second thing is you extend trust. You trust that these individuals can do the job.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to trust like in a toxic social environment where you give your trust and get your heart broken. I'm saying you give trust in an organization that people will be able to do their job. So you create belonging by including people. You listen to what people have to say. Don't talk so much. Ask more open-ended, non-leading questions. Yeah. Allow people to have self-discovery. When people have self-discovery, when you are talking about value, make sure that people are affirmed in the roles that they have and their identity. That is so important. We are very good at sometimes either recognizing the role people has or appreciating a person. But the value we get in helping you understand that your job is meaningful is when we create affirmations by bringing them together. When you tell a person that the role that they played was successful, and here's a quality about them that is important to their success of that job that they're doing, now you have an affirmation. So a very simple thing would be like this: telling a person that they did a report on time. You want to acknowledge them that they did a report. Hey, Timmy, nice job on doing the report. But the thing that I love the most about that report was how you went to the detail, you sought the truth, you went after the information to make sure that it was right before you finished it. All of a sudden, I am now affirmed because you identified my role, which was report doer, and you recognized who I was in the contribution I made to completing it. And then you don't become one-sided. That value is now full, well-rounded.
Yeah.
And then also when I say to Timmy, Timmy, by the way, you doing that report on time, that allowed Alshon, that allowed Rachel, that allowed Mary Lou to be able to do something else in the organization that wouldn't have happened had you have not done that on time. And you're creating that whole value. And so in that team, you're still doing it in a microcosmic way, as well as you might be doing it from an enterprise-wise
way. Yeah.
And then realistically, talking about shared mutual commitments, you don't go to Timmy and Alshon and Rachel and all them and you start to say, hey, here's your task, here's your job, simply because we have a paycheck, you should be doing it. You should be aligning their goals with the organizational goals. And if you did a good job of acquiring them, you already know that they adopt the values of the organization. So you speak to those values of the organization, and here's what the organization will do for you. And then in turn, you've now set it up for them to do what's needed for them. And those are just really some of the very, very simple things. But the one part that I will conclude with, so we'll wrap up our session for this, is what I want to be able to give the leaders and the listeners are three things that they can do in their company to help them see how much cohesion they may have.
Yeah.
The first thing is greetings. Who does the greetings? How do the greetings happen? What do people say in greetings? Are they just sort of one of those greetings that's like, hello, how are you? Or is it a little bit more interest in who you are as a person? Do they take some difference in that? And I'll tell you why greetings are important. When I worked with, I had an opportunity to work with some of the leaders in Prague at Duke Manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that the leaders told us when we met with them was that their employees absolutely on every survey talked about how important it was that the leadership of the company actually cared about the employees and would stop and ask them questions, would get involved in things that they would do. They didn't even care that they didn't know their names. They didn't care they didn't know how many dogs they had or children or what the next celebration was. It was the fact that they got involved to ask them questions about what was happening in their lives, what were they doing, allowing them to reinvent that. The second thing that leaders should do is listen for laughter. It's not the har, 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 slap your knee laughter. It's the, is there a calmness? Is there a sense of camaraderie?
Yep.
Is it tense? Is it burning desires? Is there a lot of action? Are people, you know, maybe their voices are raised? They're very excitable about things. That can tell you might have stress or burnout in your organization. And so you're not really giving individuals an opportunity to fully express and feel the value that they should have or that belonging. And then the last area is the affirmations. I spoke about that before. What are people saying about other people in the organization? Is it only the leaders complimenting? Do the employees compliment others? Do they do cross-departmental affirmations and acknowledgements, or is it all just self-contained within it? Do people only want to talk about the things that they do, or do they talk about the successes of others? That will give you a very good idea right off the bat whether you have a problem with cohesion in your organization or not. And if you do have a problem, you want to call me.
Excellent. Dr. Troy, that's fantastic. On all three of those points, I've got more, probably another half an hour's conversation on there. I'd love to carry on the conversation. I'm sure we will online and things like that. And I'm sure that the listeners will want to as well. People want to get in touch with you, find out more about cohesion culture, what do they do? What do they do?
Well, it's really simple. It's Dr. Troy Hall, Dr. Troy Hall. And you can find me on many social media platforms under that, or you can go to drtroyhall.com and then you can connect with me there. So you can send a message to me. I'll respond to you. I'll get back to you. We'll communicate somehow, some way, and it'll work out. If you want to get my book, you can go to Amazon. You can order the book directly at Amazon. I also have a special offer for your listeners. I have a free book. They simply pay for the shipping. If so, they go to cohesionbook.com. So they go to cohesionbook.com and they can take advantage of the free book and only pay the shipping.
All right, cool. I will put all that detail in the show notes when it goes out there. And brilliant. Finally, all I have to say is, Dr. Troy, thank you very much for coming on the show. It's been fascinating. Sparked off a few ideas of things that I've been doing. A laughter one. I've got to give this anecdote. I had my team at a training session the other day. Not a training session, a first time together session. But they were doing some work through stuff. I went to wander off to take a phone call. And from 50 yards away in the office, I could hear laughter coming from the meeting room where they were. And I was delighted because the main reason for that meeting was to get them together and get them to know each other and build some build some cohesion in that team. So it really resonates me with that. So thank you so much for coming on the show, and I'm sure it'll resonate with a lot of other people. And have a fantastic rest of your day.
Well, thank you, and I'm welcome to come back at any time, you know. So if you want to do another version of this, or maybe you might want to have a dinner conversation, I'm open to that. Since I now was here for lunch, I'll be there for dinner.
Brilliant, superb. Thank you, Dr. Troy, and look after yourself.
Thank you.
Cheers then. Bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Dr. Troy. I urge you to jump along, check out some more info on his website. If you want to grab hold of his book, pop along to nigelcreaser.com, search for the shop. And in there will be a link to his book. So pop along, gives me a little kickback, which would be fab. So all it leaves me to say is have a great day. Cheers now. Bye. Wow, you made it this far. I'm guessing that you enjoyed the show if you have. Or maybe you've just left it playing in the background and forgot it was on. But if you did enjoy it and you're inclined to, I'd be delighted if you could share the show with your colleagues. It's discoverability with podcasts is quite difficult, especially with a niche one like this. But sharing with your colleagues and letting them have a chance to listen to these fantastic guests would be brilliant. If you've got time, a review on whatever platform you listen to it on would be great too, especially if it's a 5-star one. Again, that makes it easier for people to discover the show when they're searching on there, because the comments raise it up the old search engine ups and optimization on all the different tools. If you are feeling flush, I have a couple of ways you could contribute. One is Patreon, patreon.com/SundayLunchPM, and you could donate some money to the podcast that way. Or you can jump along to my website, nigelcreaser.com, www.nigelcreaser.com, and click on the link to the shop. And in there, you've got all my books that I've created in the varying different guises, a number of different ways you can grab a copy of those. And down the bottom, I've got my guests' books. So everyone who's been on here, if they've had a book, I've got a link to their their book in there, and Amazon give me a little bit back for when someone buys from them. But more importantly, if you come back next time and listen, I'll be delighted. So I'll leave you alone and let you get on with your day now. Thank you. Bye.
Well, it's goodbye from me, Nigel Creaser, and it's goodbye from him, the Sunday Lunch PM. Goodbye.
So what's been going on with me these last couple of weeks? Well, I've been nailing some more podcast interviews. I've said before that it's been going well, and I'm in a position now where I think I have one interview to do, which is scheduled, and then I've got guests interviews rolling all the way through to January 2023, which is quite flabbergasting to me. I'm kind of thinking, I'm seeing people, I'm thinking, I'd really like to get them on earlier, I'd really like to get them in earlier, and I'm struggling to find the time to do it now. Not my time, but the time it slots on the podcast. I still think splitting the podcast between the two episodes is the right thing to do, because they're quite long podcasts for now. So, but what I will be doing from September is moving to a weekly show, so you'll be able to get your fix of these geniuses that I keep getting on this show. I'm fortunate to get on this show every week rather than every fortnight, so that's going to be great. I'm also starting to do a little bit more with the video and get the videos up onto YouTube. So Dr. Troy's will be premiering at the set it as a YouTube premiere. I don't know what it means really, to be honest, but it's worth a try, isn't it? And that will be appearing on 31st of July. I've got a few others that are going to be coming out before there. Penny Pullins and Elizabeth Harrins are the two that I've got queued up, and there's a few others I'm going to drop in as well, so keep an eye out for that. That will give you some more, sometimes it just gives a different input when you're watching a person as well, and if you prefer to watch, that'd be good. Kind of related to that, I suppose, is I had a comment on the YouTube site where one of my listeners was asking about the video topics, and so that's part of the reason why I'm kind of thinking I want to get it up on there. They also asked about the PDUs, and if you may not have spotted, I have a little stamp on my social media items for the show now that says get your PDUs. With the guys that you're listening to on here, I'm sure that you'll agree there's great knowledge, great education you're getting in there, and it can generate, contribute to your PDUs if you are a PMI person. I'm not sure about other professionals' qualifications and whether that continuing development stuff helps there as well. So check out your own ones, but remember, you can claim for PDUs listening, reading, listening to podcasts, reading books, etc. Are part of that. So thought I'd highlight to everyone. Another comment I got on the podcast, and I've heard it before a couple of times actually on the YouTube one around, people highlighting where I stop talking in this bit here and say the podcast starts from this point, and kind of to skip the preamble, which is fine. I understand that some people want to get down to the brass tacks and actually understand what's going on and get it. So I'm kind of putting it out there, whether you guys would find it beneficial if I made a version of the podcast, which was the combined cast, just the interview, made that available. It's a little bit more sorting all out, but I was thinking of making that a subscription through Patreon. So I'd love to hear from you, your ideas on that, whether you think that's a great idea. Probably be price of coffee a month, and then all I do is that additional tidying up, uploading and getting it up onto Patreon for you guys who subscribe. So whether you'd want to just audio or video or whatever, let me know. But then I would also upload all of the old ones in the same manner, so you'll have that whole back catalogue of just the interviews without me giving all the bits on the outside. So let me know, that'd be, and I'll consider that and work out where we're going. Other stuff that's going on in my day job, I was working in a office with other people in a big workshop. There must have been about 20 of us there, and quite a lot of people online as well, up in Newcastle upon Tyne. So I travelled up there, stayed in the hotel, came back. It sounds like something special these days compared to what it used to be before lockdown. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed the whole experience this week again. So getting back into the room, getting in there and really interacting with other people, meeting other people, it's been fantastic. So that was a great day, really, on that side of it. So I think in the interests of brevity, I'm coming up to 4.5 minutes on this. It's easier. I can talk for England, as you know. I'll let you get on with the interview, the second part of the interview with Dr. Troy, the talent retention expert. So enjoy, and I'll speak to you later.